something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
we play a brand new game, Canadian TV, Plot or Not.
We also play Who's This Canadian Mask, Part 2.
And for some reason, we go into a David Foster Calgary 88 Olympics wormhole. That's all coming up right now on TNT. Good morning, everyone. It's Jono the Jekyll with you on 99.5 The Marmite. With me, as always, my co-host, Jeremy Koala Taggart. Jeremy,
morning,
what are the
mate. How's your coffee,
this
mate?
Morning? It's nice and hot.
Good. It's about an hour and a half away from us. It's a little tin to sweat in this kind of weather.
It's not as hot as this brand new track from a band called Midnight Oil. The frontman Peter Garrett is politically involved. The track is called Beds Are Burning. Good morning, Australia.
Oh, man.
Folks, if you're politically involved, you'll enjoy this Midnight Oil. The time has come to say fierce, fierce, says Peter Garrett. Let's listen.
How's your breakfast?
Now, they shot the video at the side of a lake that was had some very high quotient of acid rain.
Didn't it had some fire?
If you read between the lines, I'm pretty sure he's talking about cabin footprints.
So tend to be a lot of diesel in that video shoot.
He would have a good career in politics if he continues on the same track. I think I moved to South Africa somewhere in the middle of that conversation.
That song is just too classic.
It's also 1988. It's a 1988 yes. Jam.
Yes, white pants all year round.
Bam, boom, pow! What was our thing with Peter Garrett? It was like a science show for kids.
Yeah.
Hey, kids. It's time for Peter Garrett's Rice Show. All right. Let's talk about global warming, mates.
He gets all too political with the kids.
But tries to speak to them in terms of, let's rip about global warming. Yeah. Let's rip about it.
He's fat cat. And he starts going on about a wealthy student.
Glass ceilings. Sewage. Ivory towers and all. Did you ever wonder where a pot
can go? You right now? It was supposed to be these indigenous peoples. And then he's ripping on the government.
Today's contest has to do with compost. True or false, corn on the cob cobs can go in the compost.
The kids are just sitting there.
Not engaged at all.
He's stomping around and doing those big bends, like in the video.
Your challenge this week, guys, is to make a compost bin out of corn cobs and paper towel rolls. That's the be right back.
Yeah, for sure. Every single time.
How hey, much kids. Methane gas is in a koala fat?
Hey, kids, see what? There's no beehives around anymore.
That's the punctuation for every single thing he says. Oh. How are you, bud?
I'm good.
88's off to a roaring start.
It's the first show of the autumn.
It is indeed. It's officially autumn.
It's fall, bod.
Officially autumn. The Jeremy Taggart story. Time to talk about pumpkin spice lattes and sweaters.
Oh, man. That's a classic jam. I remember 1988. I lived in Cookstown.
What was cooking in Cookstown?
Just good hangs. Messing around. That was a time I was in a fight with a kid, and my mom was just all of a sudden in the circle of kids around us going, come on, get him.
Really? She was on team tags?
Yeah.
What happened in the fight? Who won?
I got the kid to, you know, when the kid knows that they shouldn't do anything anymore, like just kind of some squeezes and a couple punches, and that was about it. Then they went running up the hill.
Were you a long-haired freaky people back then, too?
No, no, I was not at all.
So there was no hair yanking?
I just moved there, so you have to somehow claim your territory back then. Remember, if you moved into a neighborhood, you always get into a fight with somebody at some point.
Did you have Clark Kent-looking glasses then?
No, the wheels of glasses.
Right. With the tint up high, but no tint down low?
The Tom Hankey classics, the Terminator shades.
My sister had the tint up high, no tint down low, but her initials in stickers at the bottom of the right side lens.
Oh, that's a classic.
Yeah.
The one with the greasy stash to go with it.
Canadian 80s, bud.
Yeah, 88.
88. You want to hear another 88 jam?
I do, yes.
Stand by. He has the jailbird, like light blue shirt and light blue jeans at the same time.
Yeah.
Did you ever dance to this song in school dance or no?
I don't think so. Maybe. Maybe.
The funny thing about 80s videos, like this one, Never Gonna Give You Up by the great Rick Astley, is what passes as an attractive background dancer has sure changed through the era, hasn't it, through the years?
No, for sure, but you had to have a few no matter what, and they just didn't have to dance that well, just kind of click their fingers together and
yep, that was it.
Up and down, yeah.
I'm kind of digging Rick Astley's wardrobe. He's got this nautical, like, blue and white striped golf shirt with a sport jacket over it that's really long with shoulder pads, and then high-waisted denim slacks.
I still remember some kid at school doing that song at talent night, you know, like some kid in grade 4.
Like a lip sync, or he performed it?
Kind of like karaoke styles.
How did it go over?
Well, it's a bunch of parents, so they all clap, but it was just like, it was the whole song, so like the Never Gonna Give, Never Gonna Give, and then like...
The breakdown and everything.
Yeah, like a couple dance moves that are just like, whatev salad.
He did the whatev salad? The sister well, yeah. To the mashed potato?
It was just awful and really like embarrassing, but whatever. I mean, it's just a kid doing it, so... Not that bad, I guess.
Karaoke must have been born around then, because in 1988 at St. Pat's High School in Halifax, I was in grade 10, and yeah. I did Roxanne by the Police, and I'd never encountered karaoke before, but it wasn't lip sync. Like, the vocals were live to track.
Yeah. You kind of sang along with it, right?
Yeah, won the competition, bud.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, even though there were some grade 12s that pulled in some heavy, heavy tracks.
Hey, we got an awesome game today.
Yeah, we do. People really liked Who Dis Canadian Map. And this one's kind of similar. A lot of our games fall under the umbrella category of real or fake. Is it true or false? Realtor, fake, lake, or fake, those kind of things. So this one's called Plot or Not. Yeah. We played it before with Littlest Hobo, where I read a plot and you had to guess if it was a real one or a fake one, but we've broadened it and each selected. I picked 5. How many did you pick?
I got 5 at least.
Perfect.
6. Yeah, a couple good ones, yeah.
So the rule was, it had to be a Canadian show, and we're going to read plots, and you have to say if this was real or fake, and I do too. I'll go first.
Go ahead.
Beachcombers.
Oh, nice.
At the grand reopening of Molly's Reach, Nick and Jesse have to make excuses for Relic, who's passed out in the kitchen from drinking too much cooking sherry.
That's completely not true.
How did you know?
Because I watched the whole series, and that never happened. Relic kind of looked like he might be banged up, but they never showed him really getting banged up ever.
It sounds classic, though. Like, where's Relic? Go. He'll use the gin in the restroom.
But he wouldn't. He would totally steal it and go down to his boathouse and do it there.
Yeah, his little shack, which I think I've told you before, just had ropes in it. Bunch of ropes. They shot the interior of his shack somewhere else. All right, so 1-0. Good for you. That is not a plot.
Hit okay. Me. Seeing things. Louis Del Grande. Louis bears an amazing resemblance to Stefan of Drabvania, but just as he is about to assume the king's identity, the real king is kidnapped and his bodyguard murdered. Louis looks like Stefan of Drabvania.
All I want in the world is for it to be real, so I'm going to say plot.
That is a plot. That is
amazing.
Real.
Amazing.
The episode is called Here's Looking at You. Always, how many times they do that? The one guy all of a sudden looks like someone else.
It's great.
Every sitcom goes through it.
I always think of the Flintstones one where Fred becomes the CEO of a company and he has three phrases. What's your angle? Or what's your baby? What's your angle? I'll buy that or something. And that, they just say any one of those three things and you can bluff your way through the meeting and it works.
Nice.
Murdoch Mysteries.
Okay.
Percival Jenkins is found murdered at his breakfast. While questioning the servants, Murdoch discovers that many maids have been let go over the years for their loose morals.
I'm going to say that's plot.
Correct. That's plot.
Nice.
Well done.
No problem.
Okay. Sailing through it.
You ready for your beachcombers?
Yes.
Relic mistakes a beekeeper's cargo of honey for gold and fights Nick for possession of it.
Relic, what is it? Mistakes a beekeeper's what for gold?
Cargo of honey for gold.
Oh my God.
And fights Nick for possession of it.
Please, 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 plot.
It's a plot.
Amazing.
Called Cargo Gold, Season 3, Episode 6.
So good. I want to see the fight.
Fights Nick.
Okay, Degrassi.
Oh, right on.
Drake's character, Jimmy, took a Viagra and had a boner that wouldn't go away for the entire school day.
There's no way.
No well,
chance.
Why?
Come on. I know that. That show was crazy. But
wheelchair tent styles. No. Why wouldn't.
As much as I wish.
Of course they would do that episode. Of course they would do that. I made this one up in particular, but guaranteed at some point in Degrassi's history, they've done a Viagra thing.
Since you. The Degrassi, let's follow up with my Degrassi.
Okay.
Wheels runs away from home. While hitchhiking, he is accosted by a strange man. Meanwhile, Shane disappears after taking LSD at a rock concert.
Holy cow. Well, the first part we know is true because we've talked about it. And the second part I know is true because that's how I ended up playing Shane in The Next Generation. But that's a lot to happen in one episode. Still, I'm going to say plot.
It's a plot. It's taking off. Her wheel's dad comes back to Port Hope.
That was quite an action-packed episode.
It really was. It's a two-parter.
Okay, Street Legal.
Okay.
Olivia represents a controversial sexist author, but ends up sleeping with him in the judge's chambers.
I can see it. That's plot.
It's kind of a fake out because she did represent a controversial sexist author, but them doing it in the judge's chambers, I added that part. So I think, technically that was a plot. But I just wrote a bit of fan fiction on the end.
Hanging in. Ready for this one?
Yes.
Hanging in. Kate tries to help a teenage girl and her strict mother. Mike and Webster disagree about giving birth control information to a 13-year-old girl.
Can you please read it again?
Or not. Kate tries to help a teenage girl and her strict mother. Mike and Webster disagree about giving birth control information to a 13-year-old girl.
Gotta be plot.
Plots.
Good one. I almost did a hanging in. It's funny. We seem to have the same reference points. Okay, my last one. Heartland.
Okay.
Ty and Amy arrive home from Calgary to discover that someone has let the horses out of their stalls and an equestrian orgy is in full swing.
That is completely false. Not.
That's the show I would watch.
I know. All of a sudden there's a horse orgy. That would be crazy.
There must be a portmanteau, a horse G. Imagine them shouting the horses' names in anger. Dante! Skittles! That's enough.
How about this one? My secret identity. Andrew must... Jerry O'Connell is Andrew. Must choose between going on a double date or spending time with a troubled boy. And he flies around with spray cans.
I'm afraid that's plot.
Yeah, that's plot. What the hell's that?
You can see it, can't you? Oh, man, I want to go out with Monica because it's been a long time coming. But at the same time, Darcy needs my help.
Go have some pizza and hang out.
Hey, Darcy, watch this movie and I'll be back by the time it's over, okay? That's more Jack Tripper / Who's the Boss. Like that frenetic, fast-paced comic acting. You know what I mean?
For sure.
I love that.
The super quick, the Wayne and Schuster styles.
Yep. Here's another jam from 1988.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick, 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 quick. It was a good jam, though, when it came out, and it holds up. Are you feeling it or not feeling it?
I'm feeling it, but I'm also feeling when Gore does it. You get a fast car. I want a ticket to anywhere.
Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. I know that when that song came out, I hadn't heard a voice like hers before, both in terms of songwriting and music and the actual timbre of her voice. Mm-hmm. And as you know better than anybody, that's a hard row to hoe in the music business.
She had her own sound, and that's probably why she was so big when she hit.
Yeah. And she had, I don't know if you had the record, but she had an a cappella joint. Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Like really,
into things.
Vibrato-y. She was talking about some stuff going down in the apartment next door and how the cops came and if they were, or they didn't, or if they did, they didn't really do anything. But
I dig.
That's brave too. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean? I'm right with you. I'm looking this up, picture of Gord just being old and classic in this one photo. Wonder what he was doing in 1988.
Who knows? Well, wasn't that around the Anything for Love? It was a duet.
You do anything for me. You do anything for you. We both do anything for love. He sent Orinoco Flow a demo.
We can be hits, we can be hits with the Orinoco Flow. You can be hits, you can be. You know what he did? He sent.
He overdubbed himself like a bunch of gourds.
Or just sent it to her as a gift. Hey, I did a harmony line for you, no pressure. We can say ho with the Orinoco Flow. You can be hits, you can be hits. It's not even the song. He's like, drop this in, you'll be happy with it.
You're just throwing in words.
You can breach, you can reach when the water comes out your hole. And the thing when they land and they go out in a boat.
He's good playing the guitar part all high up for the second part.
Hey, I thought you might like this. Boom, da. Ding-a-doom, jag-a-doom, choo-ba-doom, say, doom-ba-doom, bay-ba-doom, bay, zoom-ba, boom-ba-doo, da-doom, bay-ba-doo. I thought, is it Sail Away or Save the Whales? It's Sail Away, right?
I think it's Sail Away.
Save the whales, save the whales. Take a break on TNT 88 and be right back with more bots.
Fucking right, eh?
Remember this one?
This is classic. This is... I love this.
Robin Williams in the weird robe with some Converse high tops.
Imagine that. I mean, for one thing, how cheap it was to probably do that compared to other videos at the time. But just how high Robin Williams had to be.
He's on the scoops. Bobby McFerrin's in bare feet. Sitting in like a leather wingback chair, and Robin Williams is wearing like a robe and some glasses, and he's just baked.
I wonder if he's like Bobby's like, hey, take it easy on this next one. He's just
I don't think so. I don't think you asked Robin Williams to be part of your thing if you didn't know what you were getting into. Don't worry. But the thing is, truthfully, you couldn't do that video now because of the cultural implications or that it might be interpreted as mocking or whatever.
For sure.
It's obviously silly, and that's one thing that Robin Williams really was, but you certainly couldn't do that today.
That's classic. Robin Williams keeps going back into the bathroom.
Yeah, where's Robin? Oh, he'll be right back. His assistant? Where he is. Oh, there he is.
Comes out with a grass skirt.
He goes down onto the street in New York and pops into some five and dime and just comes back with some weird props on the scoops.
big, huge sunglasses. Is he wearing a grass skirt at any point?
I don't know, but the thing is, I guess it was in his later years that he could keep it together long enough to turn in a Dead Poet Society or a Good Will Hunting. Because he could throw down. When he was wearing glasses in a movie, look out.
Yeah, if he was doing that thing where he moves his mouth back and forth with his mouth closed. Yeah. After he did.
That's when you knew it was coming. That is so true. That's when you knew he was being right dramatical. Robin Williams being right dramatical. Look at his mouth.
Move. He's doing the move.
You can see it's got his mouth turned down on both sides. He's going to be right dramatical.
I don't know, Louis. Come sideways.
But sometimes you'll find the answer in the places you're least looking for it. Like he delivers some leveling emotional blow. And then squishes his mouth.
Like Andrea getting all broken up. I know.
Holy frig, Robin Williams, frig off! You're sucking tears out of my lip balls right quick. I wasn't even expecting it, Bob. Ask Andrea. I say, what's your favorite movie?
Okay. Hey, Andrea, what's your favorite movie?
Any friggin' one with Robin Williams wears glasses and has his mouth squished down. He's like a tear magnet. It'll just suck them right out of my eyes over to onto him.
Awakenings?
Yeah, when he played that friggin' doctor, what's his name? We've talked about him before. Oliver Sacks. He played Oliver Sacks. And then there was the one when he had the friggin' clown nose. Couldn't even look at the screen.
Robbie De Niro starts throwing a ball and his nose starts grinding right quick.
Made me wish that my eyeballs had friggin' windshield wipers that couldn't even see the screen. Then my popcorn gets soaked in tears.
He's a clown.
Laramie played a joke on me in the theater, cut a hole in the bottom of my popcorn. Nice try, bud.
You're going to at least have to buy me a bag of gummy bears if you think that's going to happen.
No, it's not your fault. I heard.
Andrea, I've been Goodwill Hunting. It's not your fault. I'm sorry? It's not your fault. No, I know. No, it's not your fault.
It's not his fault, Laramie, that she's telling him.
Laramie, let me tell you something. You can read all the magazines you want. You can read all the fancy books. You can even memorize them with your big brain. But if you've never been to Moncton, you've never seen Ziggy's the way I have. 2 o'clock in the morning before you go for donairs. Doesn't count. You have to travel there in real life. Why don't you go see about a girl for once instead of sitting on the couch in your slippy pants?
Oh, man. What's, wasn't there a Robin Williams movie in 88? There must have been.
Must have been.
Right? Like Good Morning Vietnam or
oh, something? Oh, my gosh. I left Good Morning Vietnam with a headache. Because, I mean, it's that riff and spritz thing, man. 10% of it is awesome. But most of it is like,
yeah,
just too much.
No kidding.
You might be right. You might be right that was 1988. The Adventures of Baron Munchausen? Stand by. The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. Dead Poets Society was 89.
There you go.
It was 89. Oh. And Good Morning Vietnam was actually 87.
Oh, in betweeners.
Moscow on the Hudson. That was another one.
Yeah. Fisher King.
Yep. Aladdin, Mrs. Doubtfire. 9 months.
There's even some grinding as Miss Doubtfire and killing it.
Yeah. Do you think he was banged up in Mrs. Doubtfire?
Who knows? I mean, he was on up and down, right?
Patch Adams. Patch Adams, that was the freaking woman who wore a clown nose. It was nice to them kids. 1 hour photo, Death to Smoochie, RV, Happy Feet, Night at the Museum, License to Wed. I mean, it is quite a filmography. Mm-hmm. Merry Friggin' Christmas. That might be Andrea's favorite movie of all time. A Merry Friggin' Christmas.
Oh, wow.
So we've decided to play a second round of Who Dis Canadian Map.
We love it.
Because we loved it so much, and because it seems like the buds loved it too.
Yeah, and it's going to be fun because we can play this again online. Everybody, tweet us your
Who Dis Canadian looking map. You came up with two very good points about this game. You came up with the third one being a blank looking map, which is really what makes it so funny. And the second thing is, really, it's a long way to go to diss somebody.
Yeah.
Is the best part. You go first.
Okay.
Who Dis Canadian Map, round two.
I was born in 1980 in London, Ontario, Canada. My mom's name was Donna.
Is that it?
Hold on, I'm trying to get it right. I'm a cobbler at Black Creek Pioneer Village looking math.
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. Because of the cobbler
line. Wow. How's Ryan doing with the acting? Pretty good. You know, he has a job at Black Creek Village. He likes that. He has to dress in period costume, and they can't even break character. Right? Even when there's a bus tour there, and they're saying, like, how much do you make for this? He has to stay right in character, and he likes that.
He likes that he likes characters with no lines, too, right? He's proven that.
Yeah, he's just eye-banging the people that are watching him churn butter.
That Drive movie, he says, like, 8 words, tops.
Yeah. But he has a dart. He's doing a dirty, dangly dart and squint. The dart and squint.
Looking in the mirror at himself.
Looking in the rearview mirror at himself, yeah.
Just keeps looking at himself all the time.
He's got that rubbed a pork chop through his hair looking vibe.
Every time he looks in the mirror, he's looking at himself.
He's on Jonavision, bud.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
I have a famous last name. I just got a big new job. I'm a I'd be happy to tutor your girlfriend. Really, it's no problem. Look at Mavk.
Okay, do it again. That's good.
I have a famous last name.
Yeah.
I just got a big new job. I'd be happy to tutor your girlfriend. Really, it's no problem. Look at Mavk.
Is that Dan Levy?
No. No.
Is that his name, Eugene's kid?
Interesting. Interesting. I mean, I'm with you till I'd be happy to tutor your girlfriend. Really, it's no problem.
Yeah. That's when I thought, Dan Levy?
Huh.
Is that the guy's name?
Yeah, that's the guy's name.
He's on the Schitt's Creek?
Yeah.
That's my guess. So I was wrong?
Justin Trudeau, bud.
Oh, jeez.
I'd be happy to your girlfriend. Really, it's no problem at all. He's that guy?
Oh, my God, for sure.
But low-key shifty?
Yeah.
Although he might not be shifty. One of those, like,
you should probably
shifty.
Come back. You should probably come step back in the house in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, forgot my keys. Really? You left in the car? I mean, my second set. I always like to have a spare.
He's already got his pants off.
Because he's going to an important dinner and doesn't want them to be wrinkled when he goes to the Young Business of Montreal Association dinner. So I'm just going to take my pants off and lay them right here so they don't get wrinkled.
Trying to talk all French to the dad when he gets caught with his pants down.
Yeah. And it was during the stage when he had that Louis Riel goatee looking mask.
Yeah.
Okay, hit me.
Okay. Okay, hang on here. Okay. I was born in Scarborough to English parents. I was on Saturday Night Live for a long period. I'm a please don't ask me a personal question looking mask.
Huh.
Who am I? Who is this Canadian mask?
I was thinking Phil Hartman, but he's from... Oh, Mike Myers.
There you go. Okay. You got it.
Because Phil Hartman was from one of those B-towns, Brampton or Brantford. I think Brampton.
But you got to think about, like, because he's like, okay, I'll do the show, but just don't ask me anything personal at all.
British parents.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Why is he so guarded?
I don't know, but it's interesting if you think back, because he was always pretending to be a character or take. He was just a master at don't ask me anything personal.
Well, you know, my name is Simon, and I like to do drawings.
Okay, who's the next one?
Mike Myers could not have come up in this TMZ universe. Like, pretty guarded, quiet guy. Although... as I've said before, if you don't like the media, move to Boise.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I live in Ottawa now. I'm an athlete who's been known to crush the odd dart. I'm a one more strike and you're out HR nightmare who works nights at the warehouse his dad owns. Looking mask.
Oh my God.
Live in Ottawa now, athlete who's been known to crush the odd dart. I'm a one more strike and you're out, HR nightmare, who works nights at the warehouse his dad owns. Looking mad.
Oh, that's tough. Athlete in Ottawa.
In Ottawa now. That's the hint.
Man. Pinball Clements?
No. The other hint was... Ima could easily have been cast as the older brother on Wonder Years, looking Mavk. You know what I mean? That guy.
Oh, because that guy has such a distinct look.
I know.
Bully brother.
Married Avery's ex.
Dion Phaneuf.
Yeah.
Wow.
One more strike and you're out. HR nightmare who works nights at the warehouse his dad owns. Big time. You know who that dude is.
Wonder Years older brother.
Yeah. Yeah, like giving you a swirly. He's that looking map.
That's good.
Hit me.
Okay. I was born in Vancouver in 76. I did some Lampoon movies. I'm taking your idea, I don't care, looking muff.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Wow. Good one. He really is.
It's smiling. Listen, I'm taking your idea.
I'm going to take that. Thanks,
and
buddy.
I don't care.
Thanks, buddy. And still part of you is like, oh, awesome. He took my idea. Because he's just kind of charming. He's very funny online. Very funny social media presence. In fact, I actually, my kind of respect for him and opinion of him has shot up exponentially from his online presence. Because he gets it. He makes fun of himself. Yeah. He's proud Canadian.
Okay.
I'm a singer with a stage name. I'm from a small town in Northern Ontario. I'm a... Volunteers at the SPCA where I work have gone through the roof since I started here, looking mask.
Oh, man.
Volunteers at the SPCA where I work have gone through the roof since I started here, looking mask.
What are the first two again?
Singer with a stage name. I'm from a small town in Northern Ontario.
Ah, that's where I get thrown.
She might like a purebred dog, but she probably wouldn't like a mutt.
Amanda Marshall?
Oh, that would have been a good one.
Who is it?
Shania Twain.
Oh.
Wouldn't like a mutt. And one of those like volunteers at the SPCA are like, yeah, it's crazy. Suddenly we have 30 people volunteering here.
I would have known Timmons if you threw that out there.
Oh, yeah.
But you didn't want to give it away.
By the way, okay. Shouts to Tim for getting the pod out the door. Busy yeah. guy. Our kettles are on fire, and boy, we really appreciate it.
Yep, he's going to be gone for most of the fall starting next week.
Is he?
So we bid you adieu, but we'll stay with you on the road on a weekly basis.
Yep. Man, they're blowing up. It's wonderful.
They are blowing up, and it's fantastic. I always love hanging out with Tim, and I had a good hang with him last week. So
sick.
I'm looking forward to his Massey Hall shows in November.
Yeah.
Okay. Ready for this one?
Yeah.
Maybe those shows are in October. I can't remember, but I know they're sold out. I was born in Kingston, Ontario. I like to party, and the world pretty much knows it. I'm a, go ahead, roll another one on me. At the local bowling alley looking mask. Emma, go ahead, roll another one on me at the local bowling alley looking mask. From Kingston, everyone knows he likes to party.
I have two guesses.
Okay.
First is Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, and that's the right one.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Who's the other one?
Well, the second one was Taylor Hall.
Oh, yeah, no, he's too young.
He's too young, but he likes to party.
Sure.
Good one.
I think he shut it down, actually.
That was the rumor, that he shut it down, yeah.
Which is good.
And he's also in
untypical
hockey player fashion, been a little vocal about his displeasure at the notion of being traded from Edmonton. But yeah. I get it. If it was not what you wanted and not what you expected and you felt kind of surprised by that, I get it. It's just we're so used to saying, you know, I'll do whatever I can for the club, and you know, it's looking forward to the new chapter. We're just not used to, especially in Canada, our athletes telling the truth or being mad.
Yeah, I prefer them just to say whatever they feel on
Me
more
too.
Of a regular basis.
Oh, it's so much more interesting. Okay, I'm an athlete from Montreal. I squat for a living. I'm a tatted hipster bartender wearing suspenders and a bow tie who calls himself a mixologist looking mask.
Wow.
Tatted hipster bartender wearing suspenders and a bow tie who calls himself a mixologist looking mask.
Montreal?
Yeah. Squat for a living. Guy? Huh?
I'm trying to guess.
Squat.
Ty Bo guy?
Nope.
Who?
Russell Martin.
Oh, Russell Martin. Ah, you got me with the squats.
Squats for a living.
And you're saying tied it up.
Yeah, with the, you know, the dudes that wear the suspenders and the bow ties?
With just that? No shirt?
Yeah. No, I didn't mean that.
That's what I was thinking. Oh, you threw me good on that one.
Hit me.
But it was a good one. Okay. I was born in Kapuskasing, Ontario, in 1954. I've directed some of the biggest movies of all time. I'm a what's with the plastic forks, knives, and straws looking moth?
Adam Egoyan.
No. Close.
Cronenberg?
No, give one more. Guy close with the sea. James Cameron.
Oh, wow. Wow, James Cameron, right. Kapuskasing.
Yeah, you know he'd hammer you with the straws.
Big time.
What's with the straws? That's the thing now, everybody. What are you doing with straws?
I'm small. I've had a couple marriages end badly. I'm your little cousin who's fallen in with a bad crowd looking mafk. Your little cousin who's fallen in with a bad crowd looking mafk.
Michael J. Fox? Right?
No.
No? When
your little cousin.
Like, why are you hanging out with those guys?
Well, maybe, yeah. Dionfanuff could have been the bully in Back to the Future, too.
Totally.
Bully in Back to the Future and bully in Weird Science like a math. He could have played Chet. I was thinking Avril Lavigne.
Avril Lavigne.
Little cousin who's falling in with a bad crowd looking mask.
Yeah, definitely. That's close.
All right, we need to take a break. Here's one last one. I'm a news broadcaster, recently retired. I'm a sits on the board of the Toronto Symphony Orchestra and the Art Gallery of Canada looking mask.
Peter Mansbridge?
Close, Lloyd Robertson.
Ah, okay.
We'll take a break on TNT 88. Don't go away, bods.
And you know what I'm saying? The question is, have you ever killed a man?
Calgary 88, bud.
David Foster at his best.
The Foss. Directing the orchestra. Bum bum.
The bass licks.
Doodle-lum bum.
Or is that keyboard?
Here comes a sax break.
There he is on top of something in Vancouver. Just, there's something about this song, just sounds like fresh air.
It's aspirational.
It's like I'm just getting a spritz from the ocean on a summer day.
Wasn't Eddie the Eagle Edwards at the Calgary Olympics?
Yeah, he was like sleeping under the bridge or the jump.
What do you mean? Is that true?
Yeah, because he didn't have somewhere to say. I don't know if that was all bullshit or what, but he said he did. So this is actually David Foster on the top of this building, conducting an orchestra on the top of a building, but like waving his arms around.
The love theme from St. Elmo's Fire is both an instrumental and then there's a version with lyrics. I, for some reason, know the lyrics to this Calgary 88 song.
Yeah, how come you know them?
I don't know, but it goes, can't you feel it? There's love in the air now. Bump, bump, can't you feel it? The hope we all share now. Bump, bump. So where's that version with the lyrics?
Can Podborski kill it again?
Elizabeth Manley?
Manley's here. And the guy from Barrie, what's his name? Brian Orser.
Swimming with Summer, right? Like Alex Bauman?
Yeah.
Were you saying that was the year Greg Louganis hit his head on the diving board?
Greg Louganis fucked up his head earlier. Oh no, this was before or after. The Olympics happened early in 88. So it's just, this is before the Greg Louganis head cracking.
Okay, but don't I have it right that it used to be summer and winter were in the same year?
Yeah, they and are.
Then they're not. They started going 2 years ago, right? Oh,
they
were, yeah.
I guess they shut it down in the 2000s. I don't know.
Is that when it was?
What happened? The fuck happened, man?
Is that when it was?
I don't know, but I love that we're talking about David Foster again. I was talking to Josh from the Josh Traeger from the Sam
Roberts. Yeah, from Sam Roberts Band. What a good dude drummer. He is.
Great guy. He was talking about how he has this David Foster biography, and he's apparently, like, the quotes in it are classic, like him just giving his tips on life. And he says they would read it on the tour bus, like excerpts.
I kind of want to read it.
So we should maybe implement that game where you just read parts of that book.
I've told this story before, that one year when I was writing on the Junos, I hosted the pre-show, like the non-televised 2 hours leading up to it. And the Foss sought me out backstage and said, "Hey, man, I just wanted to let you know I thought you were great."
Really?
And so,
that's classic.
I mean, I feel a bit weird about mocking him because he was actually super nice. And
that's crazy.
Imagine how much he didn't have to do that.
No, I know.
And he was the only person that did it. It was the same year as the motion.
I love that story.
Until 1992, Winter and Summer Olympics were held in the same years, but in accordance with a 1986 decision by the IOC, they decided to go in separate four-year cycles in alternating even-numbered years. The next Winter Olympics after 92 was in 94.
There you go.
Right, you're Lillehammer, right?
Lillehammer, yeah.
Lillehammer and Turin? No.
Lillehammer, Lillehammer. Turin was in the when the hell was that? 2006 or something?
And Lillehammer was Hootie's nickname when he went to college. I think I'm mixing a pop
you
culture.
Mean Torino, that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like 2002 or 4 or something.
Was it?
Well, it was 4, I think.
Oh, Nagano. No.
Salt Lake City was 2002.
Right. When was Nagano?
Torino. I think that was the one after it. Maybe that was 2008.
Are we really doing this?
Yeah, we are.
Winter Olympics.
And then it became a car, didn't it?
What, the Nissan Murano? Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah, I think, no, the Torino. Isn't there a Torino?
Okay, we know Calgary was 88. Where was 92?
2006 Winter Olympics was Torino.
Right. Then Vancouver, but Sochi.
Lillehammer was separate.
When was it? 94. That was the 2 years later one.
Yeah.
Right.
That was it. That was the first skip. We got it.
Then Salt Lake, Torino, Vancouver, Sochi.
But there was another song from that year.
Was there?
1988. Right?
There were a bunch of songs from that year. I even have a couple teed up. You want to hear this one?
Yeah. Classic jam.
Is it genius because of its simplicity or just dumb?
Whatever. It's pop music, so he was like that tongue in cheek in a way for sure.
Do you think? Sure
there was an element of that probably to it. Modern pop. And just that song was massive. That album was massive.
I'm trying to think of what other singles
great
he had
record.
On it.
Well, it wasn't that one that had All Those Years Ago on it? Or no, that was earlier. Now we're going into this, digging on this.
Yeah. I feel like there's another big single on that album.
There's lots. I'm telling you. There's probably...
We must be getting close to Traveling Wilburys time, too.
Yeah, this was just before that. That was 88. Cloud 9, that record.
So what was on, what else was on I Got My Mind Set on You on Cloud 9? but it's gonna take money. Fish on the Sand was a track.
Yeah, that's what it takes. Cloud Nine.
That's what it takes was not a hit.
My mom used to play this record all the time, so in my head I thought it was a big, huge record, but maybe it wasn't.
I don't think it was. I don't remember Fish on the Sand blowing the roof off places.
When We Was Fab, that one. That was big.
Was it?
Yeah.
I think All Those Years Ago was big, but that was a different record.
This Is Love was big, too.
Not as big as this 88 jam.
Ruby's Kind of Love.
Yeah.
Wow, this for some reason this year keeps dying to my mom. Because she was in a car accident in Barrie with this song on the radio. Like, she couldn't handle what? It and tried to turn it off. But the worst part was, like, she had the accident, and then after, when she couldn't get out of the car yet, that song was stuck on the radio.
No.
Yeah. She got so angry when Phil Collins would come on after that.
Wow, I knew a guy at Halifax West High School who got in a car accident with Owner of a Lonely Heart.
No way.
And it was the same thing. Every time that song came on, he had total PTSD.
He started holding his head and ducking.
This is the weirdest thing. This version of Groovy Kind of Love, which I think is a cover, isn't it?
Yes, it's a cover for sure. Yeah.
So this version of Groovy Kind of Love is someone who took adorable photos of cats and dogs spooning.
Oh, no, really?
And they kind of dissolve one after the other. And then the lyrics are printed on the screen in some, like, Shakespearean font.
That's it. That's
so it's someone's animal slideshow.
It's such a cheesy song, man. I mean, the original's fine, but it's like way in the 50s, I think.
He cheesed out big time.
He what?
He cheesed out big time.
Yeah, I don't know what. I guess he got a catch of the pop music scene. But he was so massive. We already talked about the period of that video where it's shot around the world to take me home.
Yeah. When they just had to stand him upright long enough to get one shot.
Just some of them, he's just like standing there, like, seriously. He's like, whenever getting the knock on the door. Tomorrow we gotta get out. We go to Tokyo tomorrow. He's just like, seriously.
Closer to Home in 1988.
Yeah.
When they came to this land, we gave our friendship, gave them our hands, but it was never meant to be. You must bow down, they said, fall on your knees. Oh, diamond sun has to bear. Oh, are we never to learn?
Learn.
Love kills laugh, and laugh is love.
Alan, could you take it down a notch?
Take what down, sorry?
It just sounds like you're taking us to Glasgow here. Maybe we got to get this on the charts here.
Sorry, I was in the zone. So more Canadian then.
Yeah, especially with the Diamond Sun. You don't have to be all Diamond Sun.
Okay, so should I take it from the chorus again?
Okay, go ahead.
So more Canadian then.
Yes.
Oh, Diamond Sun has to bear. Oh, did it again.
No. Sorry. Burn isn't going to work.
Can you just say it for me really quick? I was thinking of Robbie Burns Day. Just say it really quick for me, Canadian style.
Diamond Sun's going to burn.
Burn. Yeah. Oh, Diamond Sun has to burn. How is that? Did that sound right? Oh, Dan and Son has to board. Oh, are we never too late?
He's all young and peppy. Right. He's like, whatever you want to tell us, try it.
So if learn is going to rhyme with burn, I should do burn and learn?
Yeah, there you go. You got it.
Okay, let me try it again. You're rolling. Are you rolling?
We're rolling, Alan.
Oh, Diamond Sun has to burn. Oh, perfect. We never to learn. How's that?
He's still doing the never.
Yeah, right. He gets burn and learn, but can't get never. Man.
That's great.
Or he changes the O to I. Oh, Diamond Sun has to burn. Oh, yeah, we never to learn. How's
he's
that?
He's got a hankering for a Tim Horton sandwich.
Let's take a break. I'm going to get a Dutchie. Hey, remember when Tim Horton's donut boxes...
Remember they had those huge eclairs back in the day?
Yeah, and they tasted like darts.
Do Alan Frew say he wants the eclairs?
Hi, sorry to bother you. Do you have any more of those eclairs?
The big greasy ones.
You know the ones that, or at coffee time, their donuts taste like darts, but they don't have the eclairs that you have. He's gone through drive-through. Remember when drive-through?
Drive-through.
He should open a drive-through. Do you remember when Tim Horton's donuts came in boxes that were many mock-ups of the Tim Horton's stores?
Yes, I remember that.
That was the best.
Yeah, because then you could cut them out and use them for buildings.
I feel like Tim Horton's needs to stay in its lane, though. Like, why are they doing this Tuscan chicken Roman-style wrap stuff?
I don't know.
Stay in your lane.
Like, breakfast sandwiches and just have some chili. Make sure you got it. Keep it going.
A friend of mine worked at Tim Hortons, and he said the chili arrives in like a 1,000-liter silver bag, like a squishy, swarthing mass of chili.
Yeah.
And they have to it into the container.
Mm-hmm. And then heat it up. Good to go.
But I'm going to tell you something. That's my go-to move at Tim Hortons is chili and a toasted whole wheat roll, no butter. Because when you dip the buttery roll in the chili, it gets greasy.
Yeah, and then it's real hot. Sometimes it's undertow hot, and then it's other times it's not hot enough. Depends on where you go.
Brutal.
Oh, 1988.
1988, bud, was quite a year.
Hey, do you want... Do you guys mind that Eddie the Eagle's going to sleep with us tonight? He's giving it because they're doing the awards.
Aww.
They're doing the ceremony, playing the live show.
A friend of my mom's Eagle. From back home. Her son's here competing at the Calgary Olympics. He's a ski jumper named Eddie. I told him he could stay on the bus.
Can I see so good? He's got these big glasses. Glasses.
Imagine Alan Frew and Midnight Oil, Peter Garrett. Backstage at the Junos, the year that Midnight Oil is here to get Best International Artist. Hey, Peter, you got a minute?
Yeah.
I just want to say my name's Alan. I'm from Canada. I sing in a band called Glass Tiger. You probably heard of us. You know that. Oh, that's me. Anyway, the charity stuff you're doing is great.
I'm having problems tending to sweat, and I can't sleep.
I'm curious.
My beds are burning.
Because you're...
I can't hear it. All I can hear is your guy. I can't switch it up. I'm not that versed in the language.
Well, I don't think any of my accents have been country appropriate today.
Never nailing it anyway.
Well, I think I've spent more time in South Africa.
Yes.
Than Australia. Because it does all take place in the nasal cavity.
So, are you psyched for the, you don't have any trees to have to clean up with the fall leaf action?
No, we don't even, well, we actually planted some red maples this year.
So there's nothing.
So we have seven of the masks.
I got one of those fucking things with the little helicopters coming off it like nobody's business.
So what's your move? Do you mulch them up? Or do you pick them up? Or do you mow right over them?
No, I just rake them up and fire them into the old composters, the bags, and they take them away.
What kind of tree is that has the helicopters?
It's, I don't know. Is it the... I don't want to look like a bad understanding in the arborist field, but how do you even look for something like that? Huh. A helicopter tree? Maples, maybe?
No, you share a picture of it online and say, what's this mask? And people will be like, oh, let me tell you, because we have them. It's how to get answers to anything nowadays, bot.
I think it's maple trees. And it is maple trees. They drop helicopters.
We're going to have... seven beautiful red maple trees in about 20 years. But I'm worried that they're not going to make it through the winter.
So eventually you'll have your helicopter issue.
Yep. But just so you know, Farmer's Almanac says this winter is going to be on par with the one from a couple years ago. It's going to be hard.
It's going to be hard.
Okay, good chatting, bud. See you next week for 1989. And maybe we'll do an Andrea and them next week.
Oh,
because I'm kind of curious to know what they've been up to.
Oh, me too.
Should we let David Foster take us home?
Yeah, let's do it.
Here it is. Take care, buds. Wait for it.
Bye, buds. Talk to you next week, buds.
Foster's sitting at his piano.
Oh, there he is. Let him lead us out.
Math can play the piano, though, ain't it? Dun-gung-gang-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung-gung